Madam President, I move further proceedings on the roll call be dispensed with and a sergeant at arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
On that motion, all those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. The sergeant shall bring in the absent members. Members, today's chaplain is the Reverend Don Plantinga from Bethany Reformed Church in Clara City, Minnesota. Following the prayer, please remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you for this day and for the opportunities we have to serve this great state of Minnesota. We give thanks for our freedoms and for our wonderful quality of life. Above all, we give thanks for the deep joy that comes from our faith. We now open ourselves to your will and ways. We ask for wisdom and courage in the face of tough decisions. Give us strength to deal with long days and complex issues. If we err, may it be on the side of justice and mercy. Enable us to work together for the welfare of your people. Bless these, your servants, the senators and staff, with good health. Guard and care for their families. And now the Lord bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine upon you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.
Secretary will take the roll.
Anderson, Bach, Benson, Bonoff, Brown, Carlson, Chamberlain, Champion, Clausen, Cohen, Dahl, Dames, Dibble, Dietzick, Eaton, Eakin, Fishbach, Franzen, Gazelka, Goodwin, Hall, Han, Herr, Hayden, Hoffman, Housley, Ingebrigtsen, Jensen, Johnson, Kent, Kiffmeyer, Kunin, Latz, Limmer, Lori, Marty, Metzen, Miller, Nelson, Newman, Nino, Ortman, Osmick, Pappas, Peterson J, Peterson B, Pratt, Reiner, Rest, Rosen, Rood, Saxhog, Scalzi, Schmidt, Senjum, Sharon, Sieben, Skoy, Sparks, Stumpf, Thompson, Tomasoni, Torres Ray, Weber, Westrom, Wieger, and Wickland.
A quorum is present. Messages from the House. The Secretary will read the message.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following Senate file as amended by the House, in which amendments the concurrence of the Senate is respectfully requested. Senate file number 2310, a bill for an act relating to state government, eliminating or modernizing antiquated, unnecessary, and obsolete language. Senate file number 2310 is herewith returned to the Senate, signed Albin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
Senator Johnson.
Madam President, I apologize for not being in here in time to address the issue on Senate File 2310, and I would ask that you would lay that bill on the table, please.
On the motion to lay Senate File 2310 on the table, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Secretary will read the next message. Not the next message, but the message after the next message.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following House files herewith transmitted. House files number 1425, 2236, 2785, 2695, 3073, 2853, and 2293, signed Albin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
Fourth order of business, first reading of House bills. The House bills printed on the agenda will be given their first reading and referred as indicated. Fifth order of business, reports of committees. Senator Bach.
Madam President, I move the committee reports printed in the agenda be adopted.
All those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Seventh order of business, second reading of House bills. The House bills printed on the agenda will be given their second reading. Ninth order of business, motions and resolutions. The motion on the agenda is an author's motion. All those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Senate Resolution 234 through 238 will be referred to the Committee on Rules. Senator Bach.
Madam President, members, we're going to recess for about an hour for the caucuses to go through the special order list. So expect to be back here by about 12:45. So with that, Madam President, the Majority Caucus will caucus in room 107 immediately. I would move for a recess of the Senate.
Senator Hamm.
Thank you, Madam President. And the Republicans will caucus immediately on recess in room 112. Thank you.
On the motion to recess, all those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. The Senate stands in recess.
Madam President, I move further proceedings on the roll call be dispensed with and the Sergeant-at-Arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
On that motion, all those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Sergeant will bring in the absent members. Remaining under motions and resolutions, messages from the House. The Secretary will report the message.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce that the House refuses to concur in the Senate amendments to House File Number 2948. House File Number 2948, a bill for an act relating to economic development, repealing obsolete, redundant, and unnecessary laws administered by the Department of Employment and Economic Development. The House respectfully requests that a conference committee of three members be appointed thereon. Mahoney, Purcell, and Gunther have been appointed as such committee on the part of the House. House File Number 2948 is herewith transmitted to the Senate with the request that the Senate appoint a like committee. Signed, Albin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
Senator Sparks.
I move that the Senate accede to the request of the House on Conference Committee on House File Number 2948 and that a Conference Committee of three members be appointed by the Subcommittee on Conference Committees on the part of the Senate to act with the like Conference Committee appointed on the part of the House.
All those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Senator Bach.
Madam President, I'd like to move for a brief recess for the purpose of appointing a Conference Committee.
All those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Senate stands in recess. The Senate will come to order. Senator Bach.
Madam President, is there a privilege report at the desk?
The Secretary will report the privilege report.
Senator Bach from the Subcommittee on Conference Committees recommends that the following senators be and they hereby are appointed as a Conference Committee on House File Number 2948. Senators Sparks, Bonhoff, and Dames. Senator Bach moves that the foregoing appointments be approved.
On that motion, all those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Senator Bach.
Madam President, pursuant to Rule 26, I designate the following bills to be made special orders for immediate consideration. And members, the list is on your desk.
The first bill under special orders is number 153 on the general orders calendar, House File 2658. Senator Sparks.
Thank you, Madam President and members. House File 2658 is the Work Comp Advisory Council policy recommendations. As you know, the council has equal representation from both business and labor. Senator John Peterson and I are the Senate's representatives on this council. This year's bill is primarily composed of housekeeping measures and some minor policy clarifications relating to last session's bill. Sections 1, 2, and 3 are policy adjustments brought to the council to clarify provisions in last year's bill. Section 4 is a housekeeping matter relating to billing and records. And sections 5 through 8, the rest of the bill, are housekeeping provisions that remove outdated and obsolete language from statute. That is a basic review of the bill, Madam President and members. It contains only the language that has been approved by the council, and I'm not aware of any opposition. I would ask for members' support.
Members should be looking at the unofficial engrossment. Are there any questions? Seeing none, the Secretary will give House File 2658 its third reading.
House File Number 2658, a bill for an act relating to workers' compensation, adopting the recommendations of the Workers' Compensation Advisory Council.
Seeing no further discussion, the Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted. All senators having voted, the secretary will close the roll. There being 57 ayes and 0 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. The next bill on special orders is number 133 on general orders, Senate File 2887, Senator Hoffman.
Madam President and members, Senate File 2887 eliminates barriers to the purchase of electric and plug-in hybrid electric vehicles and cleaner fuel-powered motor vehicles by state agencies. It also modifies state the smart fleet requirements. Alternative fuel vehicles have a bright future in Minnesota, and Senate File 2887 helps prepare the state fleet for anticipated expansion. Madam President, I authored three individual bills that made it all the way through and are expected to be on the floor pertaining to electric, plug-in hybrids, and cleaner fuel-powered vehicles in our state fleet. I would like to bring the A1 amendment combining all three bills into Senate File 2887.
The Secretary will report the amendment.
Senator Hoffman moves to amend Senate File Number 2887 as follows, page 1 after line 6, and this is the A1 amendment.
Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Madam President. Each of these bills have been heard in state and local government and passed to the floor with bipartisan support, as it is also the case in the other chamber. Senate File 2887, as amended, is supported by Drive Electric Minnesota, the Natural Gas Vehicle Coalition, Center for Energy and Environment, the American Lung Association, 3M, General Motors, CenterPoint Energy, XL Energy, and many others. Madam President, we have worked with the Department of Admin on the language of this bill, and administration has raised no concerns.
Is there any discussion? The Secretary will give, Senator Newman.
Madam President, will Senator Hoffman yield?
Senator Newman on the A1 amendment?
Yes. Would Senator Hoffman yield?
Senator Hoffman will yield. Senator Newman.
Madam President, Senator Hoffman, you've explained to us who is in favor of this amendment, but you haven't explained the amendment. If you would do so a little bit, I'd appreciate it. Thank you, Madam President.
Senator Hoffman.
Madam President, Senator Newman, thank you. The amendment basically takes Senate File 2352 and Senate File 2353. Those two standalone bills made it all the way through and are scheduled to be heard on the floor, Madam President. And at the advice of somebody who is better well known than me on combining bills, I decided to take those three and make it as one so that there is no there's no further discussion individually. And I could go, if you want me to, Madam President, go through where 2887 matches 2352 and 2353, if Senator Newman would like.
Senator Newman.
Madam President, would Senator Hoffman yield again?
He will yield. Senator Newman.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Hoffman, I'm not asking for an answer from a procedural standpoint. Your procedure is fine with me. I'm simply asking for an explanation as to what this amendment is going to accomplish from a substantive standpoint.
Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Newman, Madam President, what this does is three basic things about barriers to purchasing cleaner fuel-powered vehicles, as well as eliminating the barriers for electric and plug-in hybrid electric, and also modifying the smart fleet requirements, all pertaining to those three different bills, which is really about the alternative fuels and electric.
Any more discussion on the A1 amendment? All those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. On the bill, any more, Senator Hoffman, on 2887? Right. Are there any questions from members? Are there any other amendments? Then the Secretary will give Senate File 2887 its third reading.
Senate File Number 2887, a bill for an act relating to transportation, motor vehicles, eliminating barriers to the purchase of electric and plug-in hybrid electric vehicles by state agencies.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted, the Secretary will close the roll. There being 58 ayes and 0 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. We are temporarily skipping over the next bill to take up the Goodwin bill, number 143 on general order, Senate File 2336, Senator Goodwin.
Thank you, Madam President. And this is the only bill that the Gambling Control Board has before us this year. And all it does is make it a crime to knowingly tamper with, alter, or walk away with electronic pull tab, iPads or components, or electronic bingo devices. So it just adds those two new gaming devices to other law on pull tabs and so forth to make sure that there is a penalty for tampering with or walking away with these devices. Appreciate your support. Thank you. Is there any discussion? The Secretary will give Senate File 2336 its third reading.
Senate File Number 2336, a bill for an act relating to lawful gambling, providing for lawful gambling fraud.
Any further discussion? Senator Rosen? No. Okay, the Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted, the Secretary will close the roll. There being 57 ayes and 0 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to.
The next bill on special orders is number 131 on general orders. Senate File 2642, Senator Pappas.
Madam President and members, Senate File 2642 is the charitable gambling bill. It's a combination housekeeping, elimination of obsolete language, and the barriers for our local charitable organizations. It's had input from all aspects of the charitable gaming industry, the manufacturers, the distributors, and the Gambling Control Board all support this legislation. As I mentioned, it makes changes to Minnesota's gaming activities affecting primarily bingo and raffle activities. There are no new forms of gaming in this bill. 4 sections deal with raffles, 10 sections deal with bingo. And the hope is that these changes will get charities to further develop these forms of gambling. 2 sections deal with marketing and attempting to get manufacturers to put more money into marketing the games that they sell. The bill would eliminate the annual audit requirement of any charity who has more than $750,000 in sales. The audit cost, these audits cost the charities between $3,000 and $5,000, and the Department of Revenue does not, or the Gambling Control Board does not use the audit. The Gambling Control Board has compliance review, and Department of Revenue is doing their own field audit, so it's really duplicative. However, all charities are required to have an annual audit of both inventory and cash, and both agencies can still call an audit anytime they feel that they need to. The bill also asks for the ability for charities to use debit cards, and there's some difference of opinion about that, but because we're moving to a cashless society, the Minnesota Lottery already uses them, this is one option that a charity could use, but they don't have to. I do have a A8 technical amendment.
Secretary will report the amendment.
Senator Pappas moves to amend Senate File Number 2642 as follows. Page 8, delete Section 17. And this is the A8 amendment.
Senator Pappas.
The reason for the amendment is the Gambling Control Board wanted this provision to be clarified so it allows exactly what the ACM wants, to allow the unpaid volunteer that sells the small meat raffle tickets the opportunity to play pull tabs or bingo on the days they're not working. So with that, I ask for your support on the A8 amendment.
Discussion of the A8 amendment. Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The motion prevails and the A8 amendment is adopted. Further discussion on Senate File 2642, Senator Hall.
Thank you, Madam President. I have the A9 amendment.
Secretary will report the amendment.
Senator Hall moves to amend Senate File Number 2642 as follows. Page 12, delete Section 25. And this is the A9 amendment.
Senator Hall.
Madam President and members, the A9 amendment is a simple amendment that would not allow the use of debit cards. So it just changed it from allowing it to back to not allowing it. Part of the reason we wouldn't want debit cards to be used is my understanding is it's illegal to take out a loan, but they would have the possibility using a debit card to be taking out automatic loans. And so this just takes care of that provision.
Discussion of the A9 amendment. Senator Pappas.
Thank you, Madam President. This has a little bit of controversy with it about whether debit cards should be allowed. I think that this could use some more thought and some more discussion, so I support the amendment.
Further discussion of the A9 amendment. Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. Further discussion of Senate File 2642. Senator Chamberlain.
Madam President, I apologize. We do have an amendment coming, if I could beg your indulgence. Madam President, I have an amendment.
Secretary will report. The amendment.
Amendment.
Just a moment. She has to report it.
A50.
Yeah. Just one moment, Senator Chamberlain. Secretary will report the A50 amendment.
Senator Chamberlain moves to amend Senate File Number 2642 as follows. Page 13 after line 9, insert, and this is the A50 amendment.
Senator Chamberlain.
Madam President, the amendment basically, as we all know now, the statute is silent on online gaming authority for the board. So what this will do is clarify that, and this amendment says they cannot do it; it'll prohibit it, and they would have to come back to the legislature for that authority. So we want to clear up the confusion for the board and say, unless and until we come back here for our authorization for online gaming to expand it that way, then they cannot do it. Thank you.
Discussion of the A50 amendment. Senator Skoy.
Thank you, Madam President and members. Senator Chamberlain's amendment is the same as my Senate file 2128 that's scheduled to be heard on the floor of the Senate on Monday. But I support what he's trying to do today. I think that we as a state should be taking a good hard look at this gambling expansion and what the ramifications are of that in the state of Minnesota. If you listen to the or read the summary of the testimony on this bill and the effort to move toward online gaming, the initiative by the lottery is because that the young people in the state of Minnesota are not gambling as much as they had anticipated, and their receipts are lower. So they're reaching out to these people to try to encourage more gaming by going into their homes. And this is a major difference between the current gaming that's going on in Minnesota and this expansion, is that all the rest of the gaming, you have to leave your home and travel to an establishment to partake in the activity. This is in one's home, and I think Senator Chamberlain is making a good move to include this in this bill. It doesn't preclude us hearing the bill on Monday and doing this in two places if we choose to. But I'm standing in support of Senator Chamberlain's amendment.
Further discussion of the A50 amendment. Senator Pappas.
Thank you, Madam President. I'm glad that Senator Skoy spoke that this is identical to what the state and local government passed. It not only limits lottery sales on the web, but it also does limit lottery sales at the pump. We have this play at the pump provision that the lottery has been piloting. And I just want members, I think it's up to members how you feel about the lottery having a limited number of sales on the web, and how you feel about the lottery offering sales of lottery tickets at the pump rather than having people go into the retail store, into the gas station. There is a cost involved with this. There will be a cost probably to pay off the contractor who already has implemented the program online, and there will be a cost in that to the state budget, and we will have less dollars coming in. I have to say that I don't believe that the lottery director meant to overstep his bounds, that he was hired to make money for the state, and that we should give him credit for that, for being creative, for looking at new forms, new opportunities of way people to access lottery tickets, because this is probably the way of the future. And the whole reason that we had the lottery is so that we as a state could make money off people's gambling. And that's the reality of it. I do think, though, that this is a reasonable request to ask the lottery to slow down. If that's the will of the legislature, then I think that this is a reasonable request. And I'm going to leave it up to the members to decide how you'd like to vote on this.
Senator Skoy.
Thank you, Madam President and members. Senator Pappas mentioned that there is a cost. Just want to assure you that the Senate Tax Committee heard this bill in taxes, and we are carrying the cost on this in the Senate Tax Conference Committee, and we would be paying for those costs if we're able to get the House to concur.
Further discussion, Senator Brown.
Thank you, Madam President. I wish to ask Senator Pappas a question.
Senator Pappas, do you yield? She does. Senator Brown.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Pappas, we just adopted an amendment that said we couldn't use debit cards. Would this apply to this situation? I'm wondering how we can sell lottery tickets through a website, if not with a debit or credit card.
Senator Pappas.
Madam President and Senator Brown, the previous provision regarding debit cards had to do with the pool tabs. In bars where you have charitable gaming operations, the lottery already has legal authority for people to use debit cards. They use some kind of a PayPal system, and they have a lot of limits on how much you can spend during a period of time. I believe it's like $50 a week or something is all they will allow people to do.
Senator Skoy. Or, excuse me, Senator Brown. Any further? Senator Skoy.
Thank you, Madam President and members. And let me just clarify what the language is doing on this amendment, because it's confusing when you first look at it. If you just read subsection 4, it reads that it authorizes the director to sell or contract lottery tickets, but the heading is restrictions. So it's a restriction to sell, not allowing it. So just a clarification of the language.
Further discussion of the A50 amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. Further discussion on Senate File 2642. Seeing none, the Secretary will give Senate File 2642 its third reading.
Senate File Number 2642, a bill for an act relating to gambling, making clarifying, conforming, and technical changes relating to lawful gambling.
Third reading. Secretary will take the roll on Senate File 2642. All members having voted who desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There being 55 ayes and 2 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. On special orders is number 145. On general orders, Senate File 2718, Senator Dietzick.
Thank you, Madam President. Madam President, members, I stand before you to present Senate File 2718. 2718 codifies an existing judicial council policy and formalizes a practice that has been in place for at least 5 years. Minnesota law requires that matters submitted to a judge for a decision shall be disposed of and the decision filed with the court administrator within 90 days. This is referred to as the 90-day rule. The legislature authorized the Supreme Court to make rules to implement judicial discipline and in 1971 created the Board of Judicial Standards to assist the court. Current law requires that the Board of Judicial Standards annually review the compliance with each judge with the 90-day rules. A lot has changed since this law was written in 1971. Computerized reports are now given to the chief judges and district administrators. They get monthly reports and even weekly reports that update the status of judges' caseloads. These reports allow the local chief judge to intercede and provide assistance before a violation occurs. It is now the policy and the practice to have the chief judge of each district consult with the judge in that district who has failed to decide a case within 90 days. The district judge is equipped to deal with the issue quickly as part of their daily duties. This is more effective and efficient than current law. Senate File 2712, actually 2718, sorry, makes the policy and practice law. It outlines the process and procedures when a violation occurs, especially if multiple violations occur within a five-year time frame. I have an amendment that I'd like to offer. In committee, we amended the bill so that if there is a 90-day rule issue with the chief judge, the assistant chief judge will handle the issue and develop a plan. We found another spot in the bill that should have included the assistant chief judge, and there was also a typo in the bill that said, or appointment.
Senator Dietzig, apparently there are two amendments with your name on it. I wonder if you'd identify the one you're describing.
We want the A4 amendment.
Secretary will report the A4 amendment.
Senator Dietzig moves to amend Senate file number 2718 as follows, page 1, line 12, and this is the A4 amendment.
Senator Dietzig.
Thank you, Madam President. So again, this amendment basically reworks what we amended in the bill in the Judiciary Committee. It addresses so that if a judge cannot get a matter addressed in 90 days, that the chief judge or the assistant chief judge, if it is the chief judge that has the issue, corrects the matter in a timely fashion. Members, this bill came to me from the Minnesota District Judges Association and is a compromise with the Minnesota Judicial Council. This bill should help make the process better and make our courts more responsive. Thank you for your consideration, and I ask for your support.
Further discussion of the A4 amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye. Opposed, no. The motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. Senator Dietzig.
Thank you again, Madam President, and again, members, I just ask for your support. I think this is a good bill, and I think this will make the courts more responsive and more effective and efficient.
And Senator Dietzig, you did not have any other amendments. Is that correct? Further discussion on Senate File 2718. Seeing none, the Secretary will give Senate File 2718 its third reading.
Senate File Number 2718, a bill for an act relating to judiciary, modifying the review process of district judge disposition for compliance with 90-day disposition requirement.
Third reading. The Secretary will take the roll on Senate File 2718. Members who desire to vote will please vote. Senator Franzen. All members having voted who desire to vote, the Secretary will close the roll. There being 58 ayes and 0 nays, the bill is passed and is titled agreed to. Next bill on special orders is number 141 on general orders, Senate File 2398, Senator Jensen.
Thank you, Madam President. Minnesota ranks 23rd in the nation with the number of primary storage facilities. Only about 10% of those facilities are large, publicly traded companies, leaving 90% that are locally owned small businesses within our district serving 350,000 customers. Self-storage facilities are regulated by the state, and they abide by the state's lien laws that were enacted in 1988. The industry, their business practices, and consumer preferences have changed based on new tools and technologies as they become available. This bill modernizes and streamlines the lien law and strikes the balance between modernizing the statute and ensuring that due process is there. The goal is always to work with consumers and to have them pay their bills or some portion of it. What this bill does is it makes the process in the unfortunate circumstance that it does not have to happen that they're unable to do so. We need modernized and streamlined processes for both the industry and for the consumer. The provisions in this bill clarify the law for everyone. Many of these changes are simply updating the statute to align with current business practices and consumer expectations in the 21st century. There were several groups that worked on this bill, and I want to thank everyone that came together to try to make sure that what we were doing was workable and manageable for everyone. Section 1 of the bill clarifies definitions. Section 2 updates the lien enforcement timelines. Section 3 clarifies what storage space is, and it is the rental of space. Section 4 adds definition for verified mail. Section 5 changes the handling of default notices. Section 6 allows access to certain items. Section 7 updates lien enforcement. And then Section 8 and 9 were added for consumer protections that update the lien enforcement laws. And in Section 9, the rental agreement itself and what it looks like to the consumer. With that, I would like to offer the A5 amendment.
Secretary will report the amendment. Senator Jensen moves to amend Senate File number 2398 as follows, page 3, line 6, and this is the A5 amendment. Senator Jensen.
Thank you, Madam President. This amendment came about because of continued work, primarily with legal aid, to make sure that the consumer protections and that balance that we were trying to strike was where we wanted it to be. So what this amendment does is it raises the access to critical items within the unit from $75 to $100. The current law is $50. It raises the cap on access to critical items from $250 to $300. Adds lien holders for cars and boats to the list of people who would receive a notice if there happened to be a default. Clarifying language relating to the sale of boats and vehicles, we wanted to make sure that was absolutely clear. Gives lien holders and other people with interest the notification for the property right to sue if the storage facility owner breaks the law. And explicitly states that if there is a cap on liability placed into the rental agreement, that that cap can be negotiated between the occupant and the owner. And I would hope for your support on this amendment.
Discussion of the A5 amendment. Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye. Opposed, no. Motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. Further discussion of Senate File 2398. Seeing none, the Secretary will give Senate File 2398's third reading.
Senate File number 2398, a bill for an act relating to commerce, updating the laws regulating liens on personal property in self-storage.
Third reading. Secretary will take the roll on Senate File 2398. Members who desire to vote should please check the board. All members having voted who desire to vote, the secretary will close the roll. There being 57 ayes and 0 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. The next bill on special orders is number 146 on general orders, House File 2141, Senator Jensen.
Thank you, Madam President. Research has shown that the most dangerous domestic violence situation is where the suspect has fled before the officer arrives. These cases are known as gone on arrival and refer to a suspect who has fled or where their whereabouts are unknown by the police at the scene of the crime. Currently, offenders know that they can lay low for a day and avoid an arrest. Police and prosecutors focus on them because abusive suspects who flee before the police can arrive are considered to be the most dangerous offenders. Often they avoid arrest and return to harm. Currently, law enforcement can make probable cause, warrantless arrests, and gone-on-arrival domestic violence situations without a time limit for felony offenses and non-felony violations of protection restraining orders. They cannot make an arrest after 24 hours for gone-on-arrival misdemeanor and gross misdemeanor domestic abuse offenses. The 24-hour time limit can hamstring deputies by requiring them to wait for more paperwork. This bill extends the amount of time for that paperwork to be done from 24 hours to 72 hours, but does not reduce the standard requirements that are to make the arrest. From the initial 911 call to the final outcome of the legal case, everyone from police to patrol officers have two goals in mind: victim safety and swift consequences for abusers. Please support this bill and vote green. Madam President.
Further discussion of 2141. Senator Jensen.
I have a point of inquiry. I think I was supposed to read this House file.
Senator Jensen, it's possible for you to still make that motion.
Madam President, I move that the amendment made to House File 2141 by the Committee on Rules and Administration in the report adopted April 22, 2014, pursuant to Rule 45, be stricken.
Senator Jensen, do you want to explain the difference between the House file and the Senate file? I can help if you'd like.
It's just the title, Madam President.
It's the title language.
It's the title. Thank you.
On the Jensen motion that the amendment made to House File 2141 by the Committee on Rules and Administration and the report adopted April 22, 2014, pursuant to Rule 45, be stricken. All those in favor, please say aye. Opposed, no. The motion is adopted. Senator Jensen, further discussion of House File 2141. Secretary will give House File 2141 its third reading.
House File number 2141, a bill for an act relating to public safety, clarifying probable cause arrests for violations of protection, restraining, and no contact orders.
Third reading. Secretary will give House File 2141 its take the roll. Members will please vote who desire to vote. All members having voted, the secretary will close the roll. There being 58 ayes and 0 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Last bill on special orders is number 36 on general orders, House File 2656, Senator Lurie.
Thank you, Madam President. First, I'd like to move that the amendment made to House File 2656 by the Committee on Rules and Administration in the report adopted April 22nd, 2014, pursuant to Rule 45, be stricken.
On that motion, you want to explain it and then, well, read
Madam
it
President,
again.
Madam President, this would allow us to take up the House file and its work. The only thing that was changed was purely technical, a couple of capitalizations and punctuations, purely technical, no substantive differences at all.
So Senator Lurie moves that the amendment made to House File 2656 by the Committee on Rules and Administration in the report adopted April 22nd, 2014, pursuant to Rule 45, be stricken on the motion. All those in favor, please say aye. Opposed, no. The motion prevails. Senator Lurie.
Thank you, Madam President. House File 2656 makes a number of changes to the uses of the All Payer Claims Database currently collected by the Department of Health, and creates an advisory work group to advise the Commissioner of Health on expanding the uses of this data. It's got four sections. The first section requires the Commissioner of Health to work with vendors to assure the compliance and completeness and ensure data quality of the All Payer Claims Database. Section 2 suspends the development and implementation of provider peer grouping, one of the uses of the All Payer Claims Database currently. And Section 3 permits a couple of additional uses of the All Payer Claims Database. The first is an evaluation of the performance of our Healthcare Homes program. The second is a study of hospital readmission trends and rates. The third is an analysis of the variations in healthcare costs, quality, utilization, and illness burdens, either on geographic areas or populations. This third one is time-limited also. It's only able to be done until July 1st of 2016. And then the fourth use authorized is to evaluate the state innovation model, the SIM testing grant that Minnesota received from the feds some time ago. Section 4 is the work group that I mentioned earlier. It requires the Commissioner of the Department of Health to convene a work group to develop a framework for the expanded use of All Payer Claims Database. The work group would develop recommendations surrounding parameters for allowable uses, type of advisory or governing body that would guide the use of this data, the types of funding or fee structures needed to support that use, the appropriate privacy and security protections that would be needed, and the result of this work group would be a report to the legislature on its recommendations by February 1st of 2015. I will note that this requires no change in data collection of the All Payer Claims Database that was first established in 2008. It changes no data classifications. It is not identifiable information in any way about an individual. And with that, I would stand for questions and ask for member support. Thank you, Madam President.
Further discussion of House File 2656. Seeing none, the Secretary will give House File, Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Madam President. Would the author yield for a question?
Senator Lurie, will you yield? Senator Limmer, he yields.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Lurie, I understand that the underlying legislation that's already existing makes reference to this type of record keeping as de-identified. Is that correct?
Senator Lurie.
Madam President, Senator Limmer, yes, that is correct. It is de-identified. It is encrypted. It's a one-way encryption so that you could not de-encrypt it and re-identify the individual. There is no name. There's no address, there's no Social Security number, there's no date of birth.
Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Lurie, as I have examined your bill, I'm a little concerned that even though the information may be de-identified, are we getting any type of permission from the individual whose health records that we're sharing with another database, do they have any opportunity to involve themselves in consenting to that release and sharing?
Madam President, Senator Limmer, no, there is not a consent requirement in the collection of the Alpair claims database.
Senator Limmer.
Madam President, I wish to introduce the A2 amendment.
Secretary will report the amendment.
Senator Limmer moves to amend House File number 2656 as follows, page 3 after line 12, and this is the A2 amendment.
Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Lurie, in the amendment that I have presented before the body, I'm making reference to the difference between HIPAA rules and what we call the Minnesota Data Privacy Rules regarding medical information or health records. And many of us know that Minnesota record provisions privacy rules, at least with medical and health data, are more stringent than HIPAA. The federal government allows us to do that, and we have taken a wise course of action by making sure that our data provisions and security provisions are not solely reliant on something that happens in Washington, but that we're concerned about the sharing of data, the improper release of data that may disclose other things. This particular amendment would simply mean that as these records are being moved from one repository to another, that it would require an individual's consent.
Senator Lurie.
Madam President, I'm trying to engross this. So at what point would it, could, I'm sorry, Senator Limmer, could you repeat that one more time? How would it, when would the consent be required? Would it be required?
Senator Lurie, are you asking Senator Limmer to yield?
Would Senator Limmer please yield?
He yields. Senator Lurie, would you like to ask your question again?
Yes. Senator Limmer, could you please describe again when this would be required? I'm sorry.
Madam President, Senator Lurie, at the time that any information would be shared with this other new all-payer claim database, at the time information would be passed that it would first need to obtain the individual's written consent in order to not only inform the individual that their information is being shared, but at the same time asking them for permission to do so.
Senator Lurie.
Madam President, Senator Limmer, I'm not quite sure that's how this reads. My read of this would be that before it could be used for any of these purposes, regardless of whether any data is transferred anywhere, you would need the consent of the individual, which would essentially eviscerate the use or the ability to ever use this data for anything. As I read this, any of the uses listed here, which are, pretty much agreed to valuable uses to put this all-payer claims database to. We worked hard on this with the Hospital Association, with the Minnesota Medical Association, the health plans were parties to these negotiations. I worked hard with Senator Rosen and Senator Nelson, and this would really eviscerate the bill and make meaningless the all-payer claims database. It just would not be able to be used for any purpose whatsoever if this were to be adopted. In addition to probably coming with a cost, I don't know, it's the first time I've seen this, it would probably be a pretty significant administrative burden that would in the end not be successful. In fact, if an individual gave their consent, you'd never be able to tell which individual consented and which individual didn't. It would really totally eviscerate everything about the all-payer claims database, and so I would oppose the A2 amendment.
Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Lurie, I appreciate your work in working with all of the invested parties in this issue. I understand you've talked to hospital organizations, the Minnesota Medical Association, and other organizations. I'm glad you have their agreement on this particular bill, but I'm wondering if you went around and polled the citizens of Minnesota to determine whether or not their intimate health data could be shared with another database without their permission. Now, I personally don't think that that's too far of a stretch to ask for. I think most people, if they understood the reason why that information would be used, that it's going to be used for research, it would be used for a comparison of analytics, that type of thing, that they might even see the value of doing that. But for some reason, we're continuing as we progress through data management, we continue to talk to the invested parties, but for some reason, we're not including the subjects of that data in the policy discussion. And so this is simply not only a reminder of getting individuals involved in their own data, but when that crossroads occurs, when the data is going to be shared with others, I think our citizens should have a right to not only know about it, but also to give consent. It's as simple as that. I ask for a roll call, Madam President.
Senator Rosen.
Madam President, thank you. I rise to oppose this amendment. And members, I appreciate Senator Limmer's diligence on data privacy, and that is very, very important. However, I want to make sure that this bill, that everybody understands that we are not asking for the name, we're not asking for address or birthday or Social Security number. Those are all very important compromised pieces of information that can be used. All we're asking for is gender, age, the procedure performed, and the payment amount. And that is a very critical information for a payment claims information. This is not a personal claim information that is being required. This is no new information, no new data that's being asked in this bill, nothing that we haven't done since 2008 in Governor Pawlenty's Healthcare Transformation Task Force. And this is what we developed to make sure that we can have quality measurements going forward. So I do ask members that you oppose this amendment.
Further discussion of the A2 amendment. Senator Latz.
Madam President, I'd like to impose a call of the Senate.
Senate is under call. Senator Latz, is your request for the balance of the bill or for this amendment?
For the balance of the bill.
Thank you. Senator Latz.
Madam President, I move that further proceedings under the roll call be dispensed with and the sergeant be instructed to bring in the absent members.
On that motion, all those in favor say aye. Opposed, no. The motion prevails. The sergeant will bring in the absent members. Further discussion of the A2 amendment. Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Madam President. Well, I stand opposed to this amendment as well. Well, the amendment is written to require written consent for information from a medical record, it does need to be noted that this does not contain the names. So it's, one would say, more generic. There's nothing personal about this particular information. This is claims information without the patient's name. So I do believe that privacy protections are protected, and I believe that this amendment would not allow us to get the information that would help determine what procedures are the most cost-effective, and so I would encourage a no vote on this amendment.
Further discussion of the A2 amendment. Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Madam President. I believe that this amendment addresses an issue that's becoming more and more of a issue as we as a state continue to rely on electronic equipment to catalog and record data on our citizens. And we have to occasionally remind ourselves that the protection of that data is very, very important. Now, it is true that in the underlying bill that this is all de-identified information. I made that comment as I made my introduction of the amendment, but nevertheless, we are beginning to blur the lines. We're beginning to blur the lines that the information can go forward without ever talking up to the individual citizen about their intimate medical data, health data, and they can share it with anyone they want. The power of the state can share that information on our individual citizens whenever they want with whoever, as outlined in the underlying bill. This amendment is to remind ourselves that the sanctity of the individual is vitally important as we begin to study and analyze the more broader public health perspective of what is going on in our health records. So I would contend that the protection of individual identities as well as the individual records on individuals, if they're going to be passed from one agency to another, one database to another, should at least give a little respect to the individuals of whose data that is, and that we would seek that information in the form of a written consent.
Further discussion of the A2 amendment. Seeing none, Secretary will take the roll on the A2 amendment. The Senate is under call. Please vote. Senate is under call. All members having voted, the Secretary. Sorry. All members having voted, the Secretary will close the roll. There being 18 ayes and 42 nays, the motion does not prevail and the amendment is not adopted. Further discussion on House File 2656. Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Madam President. Would the author yield for a question?
Senator Lurie, do you yield? He does. Senator Limmer.
Madam President, Senator Lurie, as I was reading over the bill that you're presenting before the Senate, I just wanted to clarify the subject of the data that may be transferred from the all-payer repository of data. Is it your intent to collect any biological specimens or a description of biological specimens to be included in this particular data?
Senator Lurie.
I'm not quite sure what a description of a biological would be. I mean, it's the elements of a claim. I am not aware of any biological descriptor that would be an element of a claim, but I'm not an expert at claims in such a manner as to be able to you know, answer that question with authority. I mean, I'll ask, you know, I guess your question's out there now. We did go through, you know, both Health and Judiciary Committee. This question hasn't come up before. I'll see if during the debate we can
Senator
find a more
Limmer.
Definitive thank answer you. Than I'm able to provide.
I'm sorry. Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Lurie, maybe I did not make myself clear in my question. I didn't speak about claims or any liability. I talked about whether or not there would be any biological specimens or tissue samples that would, or data that would describe that type of sample included in transferring information to this all-payer database.
Well, Madam President, Senator Limmer,
Senator Lurie,
you know, to the extent lab work was done, which is a tissue sample, I suppose, and findings were derived from that, and it was part of the claim that was billed, I suppose some of that might be in there. The fact that a lab sample was taken, what a diagnosis was, you know, I think that type of information would be encompassed in a claim.
Well, Madam President.
Senator Limmer.
Madam President, Senator Lurie, we had a rather robust discussion about the baby DNA tissue and blood samples the other day, and it triggers a lot of emotion. I believe that at least required an opt-out consent, and now it appears as though what you're doing is transferring information about specimens to another database. We've already realized that the body doesn't want to tell anybody, especially the subject of that data, and seek their permission or their consent to share it. And now we're going forward with perhaps even not just descriptions, but perhaps even the biological specimen themselves. I'm very concerned about that. And for that purpose, I would like to introduce the A50 amendment.
Secretary will report the amendment.
Senator Limmer moves to amend House File Number 2656 as follows. Page 3 after line 12, insert, and this is the A50 amendment.
Senator Limmer.
Madam President, thank you. The A50 amendment would, it's rather simple, it's rather straightforward that we would not want to share biological specimens or a description of that biological exact specimen, tissue sample, whatever, from one database to another. I think without any type of consent, now that that's been established in this bill, I think we're on very dangerous ground. I would not want to go forward with this unless this was involved. You know, the bill underlying bill, we were talking about evaluating health care home programs to study in collaboration with readmissions, the RARE campaign, analyze variations of health care costs, and to evaluate state innovation models. Now we've, through this discussion, we've begun to realize that it might just go a little further, and this simply restricts the purpose to the very underlying bill itself.
Discussion of the A50. Senator Lurie.
Madam President, I stand in opposition to the A50 amendment, certainly to the idea of actually collecting biologic specimens. I can speak with authority on that. There would be no specimens themselves collected under this at all. You know, again, to the extent that that claims contain information that was derived from doing tissue samples. You know, I mean, a person was found to have melanoma. I mean, that type of thing is in the claims database. and needs to be there. And this is very different than the debate that we had the other day, in that this is de-identified data. There is no name. There is no date of birth. There is no Social Security number. There is no address. And this is just data that we've been collecting since 2008, trying to make our healthcare system better and more responsive to people. And it, again, as Senator Rosen mentioned, this was heralded in under Governor Pawlenty's healthcare reform task force. It's been a good piece of work, one that has kept Minnesota at the forefront of cost and quality measures across the country. And this would make it, this would again really make the whole system unworkable. And so I would ask members to oppose the A50 amendment as well.
Further discussion of the A50 amendment, Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam President. And again, I stand, unfortunately, to oppose this amendment. And Senator Larimer, I do understand your intentions. However, I do think there is a level here that we can't seem to get across what kind of information is going to be provided and how it cannot be compromised. Again, members, it is just the gender, the age, the procedure, colonoscopy, or whatever, and the payment amount. That is all the information that says in the bill they'll collect and that they have been collecting since 2008. And so there is no ability to collect biological specimens or data from what they're requiring. This is a priority for the hospitals. This is a move. Minnesota has done a very good job on their health care to lower the cost and keep the quality high. And for this to go into and the ability for us to have quality measurements where we know what kind of quality we're getting and the amount that we're paying, I believe that this amendment really, it really does not pertain to this bill at all.
Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Madam President. Madam President, members, we've heard now from the author and the chief and the co-author and the chief author that this bill specifically is involving itself in data that would be evaluated, studied, analyzed, or evaluated, and these are on performance standards of health care home programs, to study in collaboration with others, to analyze various health care costs and qualities, and to evaluate a state innovative model. They've confirmed that that's the limitations of the bill. I'm hoping to seek a comfort that no specimens of tissue or other samples would be included. I think it is necessary to put a little bit of a curb and parameter on this legislation. I believe that if it can't be done now, specimens can be quantified, they can be digitalized, and somewhere down the path, they may enter yet another database. And if we're not careful and if we don't realize it, it can be rematched up with the identity of some individual who's the very subject of the data. We're finding that electronic records are being very precise in quantifying huge amounts of data, and at the very same time can individualize those quantifiable data strings into identifiable components. So my desire through this amendment is let's just make absolutely sure that we don't do that even by accident and that we can put a little security around this information. A roll call, Madam President.
Further discussion of the A50 amendment. Seeing none, the Secretary, Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Madam President. Well, I would just encourage members to actually read the bill before you vote on these amendments. The bill is pretty clear. The data is de-identified. It cannot in any way be tied to an individual. So while I certainly agree with the sentiments of the author of this amendment, they really don't pertain to the legislation that is in front of us. And so I would just encourage you, pull it up on your screen and read the bill, and you will realize that it's all de-identified information. Nothing can be released that could any way be tied to a particular individual. So while the concerns are valid, they don't really apply to this bill. I would encourage a red vote.
Further discussion of the A50 amendment. Seeing none, the secretary will take the roll on A50 amendment. Senate is under call. Members will please vote. All members having voted, the secretary will close the roll. There being 18 ayes and 41 nays, the motion does not prevail. The amendment is not adopted. Further discussion of House File 2656. Senator Ortman.
No.
No. Further discussion of House File 2656. Seeing none, the secretary will give House File 2656 its third reading.
House File Number 2656, a bill for an act relating to health, modifying the use of the all-payer claims data.
The secretary will take the roll on House File 2656. Senate is under call. Members will please vote. All members having voted, the secretary will close the roll. There being 46 ayes and 13 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. And, remaining on motions and resolutions, reverting to reports of committees. The Secretary will read the report.
Senator Sharon from the Committee on Health, Human Services, and Housing, to which was referred Senate File Number 1641, a bill for an act relating to health, permitting the medical use of marijuana, reports the same back with the recommendation that the bill be amended as follows. And when so amended, the bill do pass and be re-referred to the Committee on State and Local Government. Pursuant to Joint Rule 2.03, the bill was referred to the Committee on Rules and Administration.
13th order of business, announcements of Senate interest. Are there any announcements? Without objection, the following senators will be excused from today's session. Senators Champion, Reinert, Ingebrigtsen, Nienau, Weber, Alday. Senator Cohen, Pratt, and Sinjams, 12:30 to 12:40. Senator Hayden, 12:15 to the end of session. Senator Marty, Alday. Senator Han and Sinjam, 12:50 to 1:35. Senator Limmer, 1:10 to 1:20. Senator Fischbach and Peterson J, 12:35 to 12:45. Senator Wicklund, 1:40 to the end. Further announcements of Senate interest. Senator Cohen.
Madam President, we'll have Senate Finance at a quarter after two.
Other announcements of Senate interest. Senator Bach.
Madam President, I move the Senate do not adjourn until Monday, April 28th, 12 o'clock noon.
On the motion, all those in favor, please say aye. Opposed, no. The motion prevails. The Senate is adjourned until Monday, April 28th, 12 noon.